Anybody listen to Kanye's rant on Alex Jones's podcast?
Wow.
What are they rant about?
I now can consistently, I finally figured out how to pull about 250 uncommon solo loot per armada on a 40 uncommon.
Any more tinfoil hat theories for us, Putz? Welcome, everybody, to Trek Talk on a lazy Sunday morning in between arcs. I'm your wonderful, lovable host, Techman16.
Not lovable.
I'm very lovable. Shut up.
Jury's still out on that.
No, it's not. It's been settled. It's been filed. The motion has been upheld. We all know it. How you doing, Handy?
I'm good.
What's new?
Not much.
Up on the stage, we have Jim. Jim, how are you?
Yo, what's up?
How are you doing?
I am doing all right today. I actually slept well for once last night, so it's starting off to be a good day. But I'm sure I'll find a way to ruin that.
Oh, sleeping during the night, that's a good day for you?
Yes.
Do you usually not sleep well at night?
I normally don't sleep well at all, no matter what time of day it is. I'm a chronic insomniac, yeah.
What do you do to put yourself to sleep?
Massive doses of sedatives and marijuana.
Heroin's really great for that.
Oh, that's great, dude. I mean, when I used to do a bunch of heroin, I would just pass right out.
I'm not touching that one.
And although, unfortunately, you wake up and then you just want more heroin, so that's a problem.
Yeah, so, Handy, are you just massively clicking on your computer right now?
Yeah, I'm playing a game.
All right. Is there a way to, like, shut down your computer noise or your clicking noise?
Not if my finger's clicking. I can mute myself.
Yeah, that would help. Actually, no, you can't mute yourself because this is your therapy session.
How is it my therapy session?
Well, because we're going to discuss the whole playing the game, therefore you're not spending money.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, it's not the only reason it sucks.
What's the other reason?
The other reason the game fucking sucks. They haven't fixed anything they said they should fix. They haven't done anything, in my opinion, that they should be doing.
Hey, they fixed those 40 Eclipse epics. That's one thing.
That was your role. To give a fuck about Eclipse.
Hey, now that I actually have the ability to do more Eclipse research, that was my goal.
Has no effect on my gameplay.
All right, what is your thing that you want fixed for your gameplay in order for you to start opening the game up again?
I don't. I honestly don't. I think that's just more excuses. I just don't want to play. I don't know why. Like, maybe you can tell me why, because I really don't know why. I just don't want to play the game recently.
Is it due to lack of engaging content, or just,
I mean, it has to be part of it, right? I mean, if it was engaging content, I would want to play. But I just repeatedly find myself not wanting to play the game.
I'm assuming the whole DS9 loop doesn't do anything for you, right?
Well, I love DS9. Literally my favorite Trek.
No, I'm not talking about the show. I'm talking about the loop.
No, I understand that. And the fact that the loop is bungled and everything's cash grabbed, and they still haven't completed the level 50 content, in my opinion.
That's true.
It makes it very difficult to want to play the game. And then a lot of people that I loved playing the game with have left. And then there's like all the friends I made along the way that have turned into enemies because of like some childish bullshit. And it just gets really tiring.
Right, because you stepped away from leadership several months ago, right?
Yeah, when Smooth took over and we Colt, I kind of took a back seat.
Yeah, because Inko, he logs in to play every day, but he really doesn't say much. Like, at all.
And I don't know that he's really playing.
He just logs in to do some dailies, I guess, and that's about it. Every once in a while, he'll send a ship somewhere, like an armada, and then you see, like, well, I'm running up for 42 uncommon, and here's, like, a 380 million Enterprise D showing up. I'm like, what? What just happened? And the Twilight Zone. But so the 50 content, the DS9 content's not engaging. A lot of things. You know, the Apexes are broken, which is horrible for pretty much everybody. Unless you're in a higher tier bracket where you could use higher level ships to grind your Actian hostiles, which is, again, boon to higher level players. And then, but like, expand on this thing where the friends you've made along the way are now enemies due to childish bullshit.
I mean, that's just what it is, right? I mean, I don't know how much to elaborate on that besides it's the truth.
You mean, like, several people that were in cult and then left were kicked out?
Yeah. Just regular childish crap. Just literally people acting like children. And it just gets old, man. And then just dealing with some of the people in the game, whether they're in cult or another alliance.
In terms of potential dust-ups or other types of...
No, it's just like people bringing their own personal shit into the game, right? Like they had a bad day or whatever, and it's everybody else's issue and they got to deal with it.
I see. Just you don't like the burdensome aspect of people talking about their day.
No, and I used to care enough to get involved and like help people figure their shit out. And then, but you know, the whole adage, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. A lot of truth in that.
So what you're saying is, effectively, you try to help people, and then that kind of ends up backfiring on you. Yeah, that's no fun. That's literally biting off the hand that tries to feed you.
Well, you know, and generally you can count on people to always act selfish, which is fine. That's expected. But at some point, it's like, at least pretend like you're be a selfish prick.
just pretend you're not a selfish prick. That's,
yeah, I mean, just make me think that you give a shit.
It's wise words. Just in life, just pretend you give a shit. Just pretend you do. It'll make all the difference in the world. So, what are you playing now, then, to pass your time?
Right now, is this game. Astro Colony?
Astro Colony. What is it? Is it a sci-fi game?
A building game. I usually play building games.
Just build buildings and more ships, or like how does that work?
It's kind of like STFC, except you actually get to build your base, and there's nobody to fight though. But you know, there's mining, fly around, build shit, build bases, build spaceship.
You mean you're talking about you build modules on a space station and then you mine resources to keep upgrading your station effectively?
Essentially, yeah.
So, and there's no other type of interaction with other players, or there is?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there you can, actually. This game, you can do co-op. There's no PvP aspect to it, though.
Is that the typical kind of game that you like to play?
Typically.
What other games have you played in the past that were similar?
Satisfactory is similar. Timber, I think it's called Timberborn, Dyson Sphere. There's a lot of them.
That's a cool name for a game, Dyson Sphere.
Great game too.
I looked it up and I'm like, I actually got the actual Dyson Sphere on Wikipedia. I'm like, no, I don't think that's what he's referring to. Okay. Looks like it's a factory simulation game.
Essentially. Good. I'm sorry for that.
Have you been watching the latest Star Trek episodes?
No.
I haven't either. I've been a little
bit. You mean The Prodigy?
Yeah.
It's kid shit.
Oh. Kirk just messaged saying he's not going to be there. Right.
I mean, he made the attempt.
He did make an attempt. He showed up for like...
Yeah, I mean, he did show up for like 2-3 minutes and he didn't say a word. We can call that an attempt, right? I mean, that's effort.
I guess. Qualifies as the bare minimum of effort to show up. Yeah, no, I haven't watched Prodigy. I'm kind of interested because I read some of the reviews on some of the episodes, and it's they're trying to tie back in a lot of things into Prodigy from other Star Trek series. So curious to see how that works out.
Yeah, but it's still at the end of the day, it's a child's TV show. And you know what? If you were to tell me it's really good, at some point I might try and watch it. But you know, because I have to admit, I was reluctant to watch Lower Decks, and when I finally did, I loved it. But from what I've heard of Prodigy, it's not one of those. So.
Well, no, it runs on Nickelodeon for a reason. I wouldn't say it's necessarily for kids. We'll see. Like, there's an element. Again, there's one, two, three, four episodes left until the season wraps up. I guess I could all binge it, then go through it. Because I think I stopped in like episode 6 or 7. It has an interesting premise. It's kind of like Star Wars Clone Wars kind of feel vibe, and then they start adding more of the
Clone Wars was pretty good. I enjoyed.
That's kind of the vibe it gives off, right? It's
okay.
It's like completely ancillary to Star Trek until it starts getting into the Star Trek lore. Of course, later in the season, and then there's maybe some nefariousness that Starfleet is doing effectively.
How does that track with Starfleet itself is doing wicked shit?
Yeah, but I haven't read or watched enough to.
How does that make any sense at all?
Well, I mean, if you go back and watch Star Trek, right, it seems that every admiral was completely incompetent had ever appeared on the show, with save a few, obviously. And every admiral had, like, this thing that they were nefarious for. So I think that's happening with Janeway in this series. Or it's either Janeway trying to apprehend Chakotay, or there's some sort of dynamic where one of them is good and one of them is bad kind of deal.
It doesn't feel like it follows actual Star Trek lore, but whatever.
Well, again, the lore comes from previous Star Trek series. For example, they brought back Captain Jellicoe, TNG. You remember that episode where Picard has to go on this dangerous mission, so he relieves command of the Enterprise to Captain Jellicoe?
Not off the top of my head, actually, no.
So that episode was Picard was a expert on some sort of radiation that can create a bomb or whatever. And he relieves command of the Enterprise to Jellicoe, who effectively has to try and negotiate a treaty with the Cardassians while sending Picard on a mission to recover some sort of radiation device. And turns out it was a fake, and it was a plot to capture Picard, and then he was tortured by Gul Madred for about an episode. It was the whole episode with the "There Are Four Lights."
Yeah. I do remember that.
They brought him back. He's an admiral along with Janeway in Star Trek Prodigy. There's something going on with the, you know, the protostar, right? That's the one with the crazy ass warp drive.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bring back the USS Dauntless. I think the Dauntless is the one with, if I'm not mistaken, that's the one with slipstream drive.
I
think it was.
Most of the Trek I've watched has been years ago.
Okay, so the Dauntless. Okay, now it's all coming back to me. The USS Dauntless was the it was a new class per se that was in the Voyager episode where they're trying to go home. And this alien species comes aboard and decipher a message saying that, oh, we created a new USS Dauntless that has the slipstream drive, and then you could go warp into the Alpha Quadrant. But it was a ploy for the alien species to get everybody aboard Voyager on the Dauntless and get assimilated by the Borg. But then in Prodigy, they bring back the Dauntless, and there's the real Janeway on the Dauntless. So, I mean, like I said, they bring in a lot of Star Trek aspects into the show. So, like I said, I'm curious to see where it goes.
Well, I don't know how it goes.
Are you excited for Picard Season 3?
So excited, I can't wait.
I mean, I'm hoping they the TNG crew justice.
Don't hold your breath.
I know. It's like the TNG crew, and it's funny, and I'm just I've been disappointed so many times by Discovery and Picard that it's just kind of like I want to be excited, but I have to temper everything.
Yeah, I mean, just like literally, just temper your expectations. Or don't have any expectations going into it. Watch it as if it's a totally new show. Characters you've never heard of before. It's going to take a bit of imagination, and then you might be able to enjoy it.
Not possible. What else is going on? Where's your base? Are you shielded?
Of course I'm shielded. I'm in TC.
Just asking for a friend.
I'm in TC where I always move a year. I mean, I move occasionally, but I always go back. And I have either a 7-day or a 30-day. I log in every couple of days, click a few buttons, but that's about it.
Yeah, don't do the massive amount of pips anymore.
My days of spending time on the scan are at an end.
How many actual pips are there that you have to click? Does anybody actually know who's listening?
It's over.
How much?
It's over 100 every morning, or whenever you do your dailies, and that's just button clicks, not, you know, any grinding.
Right. Yeah, that's just collecting stuff. Remember when I did my quit thing, like that was one of the reasons for it, because there's just so many things to click. Now there's even more, all these new loops.
You also had a lot of personal and professional stuff going on.
I still do.
I know you still do, but you have a little less good, at least.
Different now. it morphed from one to the other. Yeah, it's never ending. Yeah, I mean, it's weird because now I do more clicking now in the morning than I do I did back then when I quit.
Mm.
There's a ridiculous amount. It gets to a pattern at some point, but then it becomes your OCD. You're like, oh, I just have to clear these. I'm sick of them being there.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's typically the reason I finish. Well, that and what you hear from people constantly, that it's the people that keep you in the game, right? Well, when the people start leaving, it's like, eh.
True. If this game wasn't as social as say other games, then you would have another massive fallout. I remember Timelines back in the day, you know, when I first started playing STFC. It took me about 25 minutes to do my dailies. About it. It's how much I spent on the game. And now it's a lot more like STFC. There's a lot more things to do.
It's just this game has turned into whoever has the most time to spend on the game and money wins. And I don't have enough time or money.
Yeah, money is a substitute for time in the game, right? So, you know, you could play.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things you can't do unless you spend it.
Yes and no, right? You could.
I mean, a lot of it's gated by Scopely, so eventually they will release packs that you can purchase, yes. But there are some things you can do.
Well, mainly it's like, if you want to progress faster, you know, and be the guy that helps either the Alliance or you want to be the bully, then yeah, you got to spend money to do it. If you enjoy the progression, you don't have to spend the money. Obviously, it could be very frustrating, but it is, especially for a lot of lower level players who don't spend a lot. It's very frustrating to be gated by certain things.
Can be.
I guess it just depends on your type of personality, right? Like, for example, we have people in our alliance that'll spend the money because they're attracted to bigger and better things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have other people who enjoy the progression and be like, oh my god, yeah, it took me forever, but I actually got this one piece right here. That was worth it. You realize that one piece was worth one pack. You could have saved yourself three and a half months.
Switch around, man.
Which is the ultimate infuriation of this game. It's like, you can spend months, close to a year at a time, going through this game, using the mechanics that are available to you, getting all your SMSs done, getting all your dailies done, getting everything you can from the game. It'll take you a year to get a component, and you could have bought it for $100 way back at the start. That is the most infuriating part about this game.
Which is why I have issues not spending money. Like, it's very difficult for me to tell myself.
Yeah, because yeah, for you, you can't wait, right? Like, I want this, right? Why do I get?
No, I'm impatient as fuck. I'm super impatient, and I do have the money, so. Like, the only thing I could really think of to, like, kind of get myself to stop is by not playing.
That's a good point, yeah. Because a lot of people, the same way you do. Like, I'm impatient, man. I want my stuff. I don't want to wait. Even if it's going to take, like, 3 weeks, like, I don't want to do that. I'm just going to spend the money and do it. What is this?
It's a slippery slope, especially if you have the money to do it.
If you don't, and it becomes a, you know.
Well, I mean, I've heard of people, like, literally bankrupting themselves because of this stupid game. That's horrific. If you're somebody in that position, for God's sake, stop playing. It's not even close to good enough to, like, financially compromise life for this stupid-ass game.
Or rather, what I'm saying is, no, it's not worth your, you know, bankrupting yourself just to get ahead in this game.
No. Not even. Any game, for that matter, isn't worth compromising your life.
That's why I think every commercial with DraftKings or whatever that other fantasy gaming thing says, yeah, if you have a problem with gambling addiction, get help.
Yeah.
This is effectively a form of gambling.
Totally. I mean, I just have an addictive personality.
I think most people have an addictive personality. It's just how much control do you have over it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably accurate.
Can you imagine if so you start playing a new game that has same kind of mechanics as STFC, but if you spend money, your progression is only incrementally better. Or you might just get, only content, like extra skins or you know, extra avatars or things of that nature. Imagine the progression hurdles that would ensue with people who don't want to participate in the game. They just want to spend money to get ahead.
Elaborate.
Well, what I mean is, imagine is you have an STFC 2, right? And STFC 2 has a similar gameplay as STFC 1, except if you spend money, you don't get that much more than you would in STFC 1. it would take you actually spending money and playing the game in order to actually progress just that much faster than your peers.
I mean, that's essentially what the game is already.
No. What I mean is, like, you can't... STFC, I could drop $1,000, and now I just skipped a couple levels. What I'm saying is that if you spend... if you get another game, or you spend $1,000, you may be, like, half a level ahead than your peers who are doing free-to-play. How many people do you think would not play that game?
That's a great question.
And do you think there would be more retention of players if the gap between spenders and non-spenders is that much? Because, I mean, in FTFC, let's take a look at this, right? A spender can go to level 60, right? Level 60, your base ships are what? 200 million power or something like that?
Right.
Okay. Then a non-spender. So you take two groups of people. You take your spenders, your non-spenders from day one. One's at level 60, one's at level, you know, just say 45, right, for non-spenders. What's the difference in power between a level 60 and a level 45?
Quite a bit. Yeah, I mean, it'd be a big difference.
And how much did that spender have to spend along the way, right? If you're starting at day one to get to level 60, then you're looking at, you know, close to six figures, if not higher than that, to get to that point. What if when you spend money, your progression isn't as far off as somebody who's just working their way through it? You're not going to be spending, you know, over six figures, but you won't, you know. But at the same time, do you think you'd have more player retention?
That's a tough one.
Way back in the day, right? Like, let's take a look back, you know, several years ago when everybody was a level 15, level 16. How many players did we have? How many alliances did we have? Way more, right, than what we have now?
I don't know. I feel like our server in particular is a little bit of an oddity. It's a little more healthy than most servers.
I'm just saying, if you take a look at when we were level 15, level 16, I mean, I would guess, right? So our server population is around 2,000, 2,200, something like that. At least log in at least once a day or something. Actively put up points on the board. But back then, I want to say it was at least double that.
Maybe, right?
You know, so I have to wonder, like, how many more people would be retained if the progression isn't necessarily gated by spending or spending a lot of money. And I'm not a gaming expert, so I don't know. I've never played enough games to get a true sample size. What is the maximum amount that people would be willing to spend versus, you know, keep on playing the game? That also has to do with other factors, right? For example,
I mean, that's everybody's personal opinion on where to stop.
Right, but I mean, what I mean is it also is dependent on level of engaging content and bug fixes and how timely those happen.
And scopely fail.
You know, it's funny, we truly rag on Scopely a lot, and for God's sakes, they deserve it because they're, yeah, I mean, they're whatever. But the thing is, I think that the type of content that games like this roll out is the same across the board.
That's ridiculous. No, I don't agree with that at all.
What I mean is, like, these accidental MMOs exist. I think there is a typical strategy that most companies employ where you release new content every month. Keep people engaged.
I mean, that may be true, but that still doesn't absolve you, you know, your duty to make sure what you put out operates.
Oh, that notwithstanding, yes, you know, I completely agree with you. I'm just saying, like, the content rollout, monthly content rollout to keep users engaged. How the bugs get fixed, yeah, well, that's... That's on a company per company basis.
And that's one thing that Scopely is continually failed.
No, it's they've failed. They're also, again, we've discussed this with Ripper. We don't know their particular what their customer demands of them. Their customer being Paramount, right? CBS, Paramount, Viacom, Paramount, whatever. We don't know what is demanded of them. So if Paramount demands that they make a certain amount of money every quarter, it means they got to pump.
Well, okay, look, it doesn't matter what they demand as far as profit. The fact is any company is going to want to make as much as humanly possible. Period. I mean, who wouldn't? But at the same time, I believe that they've lost sight a bit of what's important. Keeping your customers happy, or not your customers, your users happy and spending money should be considered, right? And they haven't done that. So
I agree. And it's fortunately there's different divisions, right? There's one that has to keep customer happy, and then the other one has to keep your user base happy.
Right. Well, they're more interested in their customer shareholders than their.
That's ubiquitous. That's mainly across the board. So, and you know, I feel for the people that have to fix these bugs, because the new content that rolls out somehow breaks more and more stuff, and they just can't keep up. It's kind of like the boat is sinking, and you're trying to plug in one hole, and the other one pops open.
I don't know. They got to do better. They want me to play the game.
They got
as avidly as I used to.
Are you listening, Scopely? Do better. Do better. Fix bugs. Hire more people to fix bugs.
It's not even just bugs. If it was just bugs, it'd be one thing, but there's just so many other things that they catch up on. I mean, it's just the content. Like, it's gotten a little stale. And then every time they come out with something new and neat, like, they take it away. Which I don't get, either.
You mean new and neat, like the Starbase?
No, if the Starbase really qualifies, but...
It's more Armadas?
No, just like some of the events and stuff that they've come out with that are actually quite entertaining, and then it just gets taken away one day because, I don't know why, somebody complains about it, or...
Oh, okay, you mean like new events? Like novel events.
There's something to keep everybody entertained. Because I don't feel very...
Yeah, you're right. A lot of these events are copy and paste.
There's just nothing new. I mean, you do it for enough years and it's like, okay. I can't bring myself to be excited.
So I'll bring you up. Because you seem to have some interesting insight on your... that comment there that you wrote. Why don't you reiterate that comment that you said?
So here is my comment. Not all companies are designed from even the get-go to make money. There are hundreds of thousands of companies that have sub-companies that their whole point is to lose money or to make a certain profit margin or to just break even. Whatever the bigger picture is for the parent company, the end user may have a drastically different experience. So if Paramount is trying to use Scopely or vice versa, or Scopely is trying to use Digit, let's say, to balance out their budget and they are making more money on something else, they actually may want to lose money on another product, as so they don't pay as much taxes or whatever they're trying to accomplish, making their business more look on paper, more valuable because they want to sell, making it look less valuable because they're worried about some sort of hostile takeover. But realistically, what the company's end goal is will drastically affect the user's experience. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah, that's right.
But so far, I haven't seen any kind of inkling in Scopely to not make money on the titles that they bought.
Yeah, I would. He's just saying in general, companies in general. I think it was just making a point.
In that framework, right? In the framework where you have a complex set of parent-child relationships with different entities and shell companies so that, you know, okay, what you want to do is if you want to put yourself up for sale, you start contracting your staff so that you show massive profitability. Get the most bang for your buck. If you want to avoid paying taxes, then yeah, you want subsets where you're losing a whole bunch of money to show that look at all this stuff. You know, we're losing money, so we're not paying anything. So far, what I've seen is that Scopely is cash rich, and they've already acquired another 4 titles.
Yeah, I mean they're in the growing stages.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Scopely besides that they own this game and own a Marvel game, I think, and that's about all I know.
They own about 100-something games.
Oh, I'm sure that it wasn't just 2, you know.
And yeah, they have, like, The Walking Dead and WWE Champions, and there's some of their beer hitters, and apparently, like, Stumble Guys, which is a ripoff of Fall Guys, making money on that. Yahtzee, don't forget Yahtzee. Yahtzee's making a bunch of money.
Oh, yeah. Fucking killing it. It's all about Yahtzee.
Anyway, Yahtzee with friends.
Tinfoil hat theory to throw by you.
Yes, please. We love those.
Right. Have you ever experienced this? You go and kill something in the game, whatever it is. You've designed your ship, you the crew, whatever it is, you're ready to hit it. You hit it, and you kill it easily. And then you go back and you kill another one exactly like that, like within 10 or 15 minutes, and you kill it a little bit less easily. And then the third time you do it, you kill it even more less easily. And by the fourth or fifth time that you have killed the same thing that was easy the first time, is now 50-50 chance whether or not you survive it.
And that's just RNG.
I understand it's just RNG. I get that. But if you see that consistently all the time...
You say first, but what is first?
Okay, so for example, I have seen when grinding hostiles... When I first started to see it when I was grinding hostiles for the events that said you need to deal critical hit damage, right? And I would make a first run... with my Stella in exchange space, and I would get X number of points. And I would even be watching and see, oh, I got 12 million. I'm getting around 12 million or 15 million each time I hit a ship. I go for my second run, and now I'm getting about 10 or 20% less in points for the second run, and I'm only getting around 10 million per ship when I hit it. I go for my third run, like my third run in a row, right? Maybe this has taken me an hour. I'm now only seeing 9 million per ship, and I'm getting like 20 or 30% less points than my first run. I've seen it there, and I've also seen it in solo armadas. Last night, I did a run, and I started with, you know, a 40 uncommon. I did it. I won very easily. I then waited for another one to pop. Populate that was a high value. I did it, and I won by the skin of my teeth. I did the third one. I won by the skin of my teeth. The fourth one, I lost. The fifth one, I had to use an exocomp. I did 9 of them yesterday, and by the time I got done, and it was all the same, I had lost twice and had to resort to multiple exocomps, multiple cloaking, and I had to use my Cerritos once, all in the same one. Whereas at the very beginning, an hour or so earlier, I was beating them easily.
Did you have to heal? Did you heal your ships and the engine?
Oh yeah. I'm sending them home healing. I'm coming back full health. Like I'm coming back pristine every time. What I'm saying is I think part of the RNG also has maybe a, you're going to do the same thing over and over and over. We're going to make it slightly harder to retard your efforts as you go on. But if you just quit or go do something else or log off for the game for a little bit and come back, it will have reset to the easier mode. I think as you grind, it gets harder and harder to grind.
So you think there's literally a parasitic algorithm to your progression?
Yeah, slightly. It's not enough to be like, oh my gosh, I need to, like, oh, 5 hours, I need to stop, I need to reset. But I swear to God that I get my best results the first couple of times I do something, and it just always goes down from there if I try to repeat.
That's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to put you together with a couple people that are also ultra nerds about this game and about math and tracking things like this, and let's see if there's something to it. I've never noticed it, so if it does exist, it's subtle.
Yeah, for me, it just was like, am I really experiencing this? Is this just me? Like it's on the borderline of...
Well, you gotta have... There's math to back it up if it's happened. So instead of speculating, let's figure it out. We'll reconvene next week.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just saying that my spidey sense was going off like, this doesn't seem right.
It could be right. Or it could just be completely right.
No, I think there is something to do with the solar armadas, because I've experienced that with solar armadas before. I haven't experienced that with anything else, per se. But solar armadas, but for me, it was like the next day. It wasn't so much that day. Like, for example, I'd use some exocomps, and I'd use some it was exocomps, and it was Cerritos to kill a 43 uncommon solo armada. I'm like, great, cool, I can kill 43s now, come back the next day with more research against my ship, you know, for my ships, right? I increase their whatever, their base piercing damage or shit like that. And I do the exact same thing, and then I lose. There's something weird about solo armadas.
Well, armadas are all over the place as far as how much damage they do, what ship they decide to attack, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of randomness to armadas. I mean, some things are a sure bet, but if you're right on the cusp, punching up, yeah, I mean, I could easily see that some you're going to win, some you're not, just by pure chance.
Yeah, and I'm pushing the envelope, so I'm on the bleeding edge almost all the time. So I can surely chalk it up to randomness, right? But it just, in all of my experience of numbers and crunching and math and seeing trends and all of that, that, like, there's just something smells funny in the state of Denmark here.
I think you should look into it. I mean, get together with a little small crew of people. Everybody pulls battle reports and see if there's anything to it. I already know, top of my head, a couple people that would be interested. I know for a fact Darius would look into it with you. I'm sure there's a handful of other people that would.
Yeah, I might ask Darius over my Christmas break to look at some battle logs with me.
Put the idea in his head.
Yeah.
Put the idea in his head. So he starts paying attention. That guy's fucking really good with math, and he pays attention to shit, so...
Right.
And he downloads battle logs constantly and whatnot, and crunches numbers, blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's what he's good for. That's what he does for a living. He was a data analyst for Yahoo way back when.
A data analyst? That's interesting.
Yep.
And he enjoyed every minute of it, so right here.
one of his claims to fame was...
Hey, Chesty, you want to come up and talk for a sec? I got a question for you. Raise your hand if you're willing to come up. Anyway, go ahead, Ted.
No, that's fine. It's cool. I'll let him tell it when he gets on about, you know, his other story. But
what other story?
He had an interesting story when he was working in Yahoo, and it involves you know, the current makeup of fantasy sports and Dungeons and Dragons.
They're getting closer.
Well, yeah, one came from the other, more or less.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The Venn diagram is very, very overlapped there.
But such as fantasy sports or what, incorporating chains?
No, it's the the premise that what fantasy sports do and eventually how that evolved into fantasy sports betting. It's based on a variety of numbers and statistics that are taken from the game and then extrapolated over time. And so people that were really into games like Dungeons and Dragons that use statistical probabilities for prediction of outcomes were able to basically graft nerd D&D shit onto jock sports stat stuff and create a system by which there's predictability what happens when certain teams phase off against one another.
I'm pretty sure that there may be a 30 for 30 that an ESPN documentary on like the origin of fantasy football or fantasy sports that
it won't find
originated.
I'll find it
with like, yeah,
you gotta, like I said, Darius was kind of involved in something like that. So when he gets here, you can ask him offline.
Would you invite him? You say when he gets here, like he's on his.
Yeah, you know, he might show up randomly. You know, he's also kind of a chronic insomniac. Jim there. He might show up. I mean, he might have been up all night, whatever, doing stuff in the game. Any more tinfoil hat theories for us, Putz?
No, that was the one that's been on the top of my head for a bit.
Yeah, these solo armada things are very, very odd. I don't know. I've only encountered something like that where the next day I was like, oh, this sucks. You know, I lost. Even though I used the same stuff with better research.
All I know is that I now can consistently, I finally figured out how to pull about 250 uncommon solo loot per armada on a 40 uncommon. So I am I'm now in the surplus on getting a Defiant.
You mean using Jordy and Five?
Yeah, Jordy and Five and all of that. Yeah, and actually now what I'm doing is my third ship I send is a smaller ship so that the percentages of my two big ships that have loot crews get more. So I'm now able to take the 10 edicts that come in a 40 uncommon and turn that into 17 every time. Which means that I'm pulling the elite chest every 6 days instead of every 9 days.
What, you send like a Saladin or something?
No, I send my Franklin.
Oh, with Jayla?
Yep.
Ah, gotcha. That's right. That's another loot officer.
Mm-hmm.
The Jaylas and the Jordy.
Yeah. I've got Jordy full synergy on my auger. I've got 5, 6 and a Kirk on my Enterprise, and then I've got Jayla and I don't remember what I put on last time, but Jayla and stuff on my Franklin A to die a horrible death.
I'm just thinking. Yeah. And then make sure you upgrade all your Explorer research so that all you get all your Explorer buffs.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And I've done this only with having the first level of the favors for the loot enhancement. I'm holding off. I haven't gotten to level 2 yet. I've got all the Bajoran credits, but I'm waiting for an event push up. I'm sure there'll be one in December.
Yeah, that's a good point. Or just any kind of research event. Just like the ones for prepping for incursions or whatever.
Right. Like if there's a research event, I've got it locked because I could probably do 9 or 10 of the first level Bajoran favors and they're all like 80 or 90K in research power up.
I've already done those. They help with everything. pretty much. I finally got favored with Bajoran so that I can start finding epic loot.
Yeah, I'm going to try to be at favored at the same time I go to 40, so that kind of happens together.
Have you got your ships maxed yet? 34 epics?
T7 and 5/8, or I think I have one more component on my to go to T8 on my Augur. My Enterprise is two components away from T7, and my D4 is a naked T6. So they're getting there.
I built the D4.
I built lots of D4s and scrapped them.
I only built the D4 because eventually I got the blueprints for free, and I'm like, okay, we'll cook it. We'll play around with it.
That's a good point. I should get it up there so I can get... I guess I'm close to a Kelvin anyway, so I might as well get that interceptor to kill all ships.
Yeah, I still don't know if I'm going to actually build a level 42 ship when I get there, or just try to ride the 2 max G3 epics.
Get a 42 ship. Don't even bother not getting one. Your way of progressing, you're going to need one.
That's what I'm afraid of.
You're going to need one or two.
Yeah, I got my free jelly last week and got it all the way up to T2, and now I'm done.
Yeah, I'm getting mine to T6, just so I can get that third spot below decks.
Of course, I may change my tune when Jelly Brawl comes around for the first time I'm in it, and if I'm not able to do anything, then I'll have to... take it up another tier. Everybody says T2 you can handle.
Yeah, you can handle so. T2. I think with T2 you need a couple of trips to finish Jelly Brawl.
What is Jelly Brawl, by the way? I know it's hit hostiles in a certain system, but I didn't know.
Yeah, there's just the level 38 or 39 system, I think, in Fed space, ROM space, and Klingon space. And you just go there and you hit hostiles, and you need to hit 50 of them, and then you get a whole bunch of parts, explorer parts, uncommon, common, and then 4-star uncommon, 4-star gas, and uncommon 4-star ore, I think.
Gotcha.
And it's really useful. It's really useful for people going down the Valdor route, so you could, you know, forget the jelly and build your Valdor and use the parts on the Valdor. But there's also that whole, you know, how much it costs to run a Valdor versus how much it costs to run a jelly.
Right. Uncommon survey parts. Besides getting them from the refinery once you get up to Ops 40 or 41 when uncommons show up, and scrapping faction G3 miners. Is there any other way to get those besides buying it in a pack?
Yeah, the G4 refinery. G4 model.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just want to make sure I wasn't missing an obvious thing because I have my Meridian. My Meridian? Yeah, my Meridian is stalled.
What's it stalled at?
Whatever tier, the first tier that it starts requiring G4 uncommon survey parts.
Oh, okay.
Like, I have three components, and one's like 15, the other one's like 30, and the other one's like 45. So I only need like 60 or 70 uncommon parts in total to move up another tier. But, yeah, I have no way to procure them at all.
Yeah, and I think you only start getting them at 40. You can start getting them in the G4 on auto packs at 40. Not packs, but the refineries.
Yeah, the chests.
Right.
I knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, because I'm stuck on rare, the Meridian. In order to get it to tier 9, you need rare array parts. All right, handy. Anything else?
No, let's see. Nope. No, pretty boring today.
Pretty boring today. Anybody listen to Kanye's rant on Alex Jones's podcast or whatever he runs?
No, what was that about?
I heard clips of it, and wow. Wow.
What did he rant about?
Oh, you know, he's... it's Kanye, right? So take everything with a grain of salt, right?
When Alex Jones is telling you that you're wrong and that he doesn't believe what you're saying and that he's trying to distance himself on his own show from you, you have made a wrong decision somewhere. Multiple wrong decisions.
I'm definitely not going to go look this up on my own because I don't care that much. But if you want to fill me, I'm curious.
Oh, he just ranted about how he loves Hitler.
That sounds...
What made it really funny is that he was wearing this like weird mask while he was doing it too.
Oh, I saw that photo. See, I was only listening to the clips on radio when driving, and then last night I did see a still picture, and I'm like, what? But yeah, he had like a zip up hoodie that zipped up. It was like he was wearing a hooded sweatshirt backwards, so it was just covering his
face. Yeah. It was funny. I don't feel bad for the guy, but that was listening to the whole thing, that whole whatever it was, like 2 minute segment, it's just kinda like, wow. It's kinda like who let this guy out of the basement? Like he needs to go back to the basement.
Like it actually made me feel sorry for Kim Kardashian.
That's hard to do. Yes, but yeah, I agree.
It's painful.
Oh my god. Oh man, I think that's it for today. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, I'm good.
Hey, good.
I'm good.
Right, let us know when you log in next time. What happens?
I've got it scheduled in for month.
Like on Tuesday for the arc, for the new arc fall?
Probably.
Cool, man. Well, Putz, thanks for being here. Appreciate it. And
love
tinfoil hat theories about Scopely. I love them. They keep us entertained with those theories. All right, guys. Well, thank you all for listening. This has been fun. Bring all your tinfoil hat theories. We'd love to discuss them. I'll see you guys next time. Outro ever.
Yeah, we're killing it.